This morning, as we understand or we seek to begin our study on this doctrine called Chosen, and I hope that our hearts will be greatly, greatly blessed and lifted up as we try and comprehend this. And one of the verses that we want to memorize as we think about this concept is our memory verse today. But let's read that. It's found on page 10, if you need help. And it talks about being chosen. Okay, now this is very important. But let's try this together. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. Let's read that together. Here we go. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. And that's what we're going to try and understand this morning as we begin this whole idea of studying this wonderful, really profound topic. Chosen is a subject that we don't really think about very much. In fact, a lot of people don't understand this idea of being chosen. They sort of figure, well, I'm not chosen for this, not chosen for that, I'm not gifted, and I don't know what. And a lot of people think that they're just among the unchosen. Well, that's not true. The challenge is to open our understanding and figure out what it really, really means, this whole idea of being chosen. Is it a doctrine taught in the scriptures? Yes. The challenge is to understand the deep lessons that go with it. Okay, sometimes we think that, well, you know, God didn't choose me. He didn't choose me for anything special. He didn't choose me for anything specific. And we so almost sort of rule it out of our mind. Unfortunately, that is an incorrect and unnecessary thought. There are many lessons that we can learn when God chooses, for example, Israel. We may not be Israel in the Old Testament, but are there lessons we can learn? And the answer is yes. Well, let's take up this chapter 7 and verse 6, part of the book of Deuteronomy. Give you an example. Open up the book of Deuteronomy and let's take a look and see what this is. Okay, now we look at this very carefully. First, the first lesson that we must seek to understand is this whole idea of a relationship with God. It begins here, open, plain, simple. We have a relationship with God. You are a people, a holy people to the Lord your God. Right? Not just strangers, not scattered, not nameless individuals. God has chosen us to be a holy people to himself. Now that is important. That's where we look at this whole idea of relationship. The question is, do we understand a relationship? We must try because it is important for us to begin here. A holy people, a people for himself. Now, we must move quickly on to the next word, and that is, how do we understand a relationship? And it was meant to be a close relationship marked out by the word special treasure. And sometimes you ask yourself how this works out in terms of closeness. And we need to understand this. So sometimes, you hear of people who are unwell. Okay, and you hear of people who are sick. You hear of people who are, in this case here of Maureen, just a few months ago, she was right here, standing beside me and saying, I want to give testimony of the Lord's grace and mercy to me. You know, a lot of people who have pancreatic cancer don't live beyond 6 months. She's lived 3 years. And that is that closeness of relationship. You know, and I've known Maureen and Michelle when she was a little girl coming to junior camp. And Michelle is the same age as my son. So, you know, it's been many years now. So when I spoke to Albert on the phone in Melbourne, and he just choked up. He couldn't carry on that conversation. Just tears just came. Then you understand what it means to have that relationship. And so I understand how he feels, because it's hard. So every time we conduct a funeral service, every time we do a part of it, you know, we spend special vigil things, and I do special poems for those who have passed on. There is a closeness of relationship that cannot be understood just by saying, you know, it's a relationship. Tears come. Sorrow is felt. A part of you aches and is in pain with a person who is suffering. And yet it is not one of despair, because Maureen was, many times she called me and she said, "Pastor, can I just give up? Can I just ask God to take me home, because it is so painful?" Then after a few moments, she would say, "Okay, I will try again. I will take the chemo. I'll keep you in touch. I will try again." It's not easy to tell the person, try. Not easy to tell the person, you know, you will suffer pain. It's not easy. But you see, it is the concept of life. We don't yield to death easily. Death is to be fought as an enemy until one day the Lord decides we have fought the good fight, it's time to come home. But that relationship of closeness is what God desires to have with us. Imagine a relationship with a great and awesome God. But let's take a look what God is like described in Deuteronomy 7. Let's take a look. Okay, in verse 9. "Therefore know that the Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant." And then we read further in verse 21. "The Lord your God, the great and awesome God, is among you." And this great and awesome God wants to have a relationship, a close relationship with us. To me, that is truly profound and outstanding, to say the least. And he goes on further to say, we are a special treasure. Now, it's not everyone who will be, you know, God will simply say, you are a special treasure. To Israel, to his chosen, to his people, he says, you are a special treasure. Not everyone will be able to be privileged to be somebody's special treasure. Israel was chosen. We are chosen. And to me, that is a glorious thought. So he chooses in his own sovereign wisdom. He chooses us to be his people. And then, you know, we read, we are a special treasure to him. To me, that is profound. Why? Sometimes we cannot understand the why part of it. Why would God actually choose us? And this is important. We read these words here, and then in verse 8. Because the Lord loves you. You know, love is something that we will never really be able to understand. Why does one love one person and not the next? Why would one person love one thing and not the other? Sometimes we don't really understand the idea of love. To me, as Michelle wrote, and it says, Mom is in a deep coma right now. The doctors have just said that it is very unlikely she will wake up out of this coma. I replied and I said to her, this is the mercy of God. No more pain. If she had lived on, it would be even more painful because she is looking at chemotherapy again, and this time of the liver. And it is challenging to go through that. So there is the Lord's love given to us, and that is that mercy given to us. And it is a wonderful thought that the Lord loves us. Sometimes we don't really understand what God means when he says he loves us. It's not in words. God's love is not seen only in words. If you take a look at the things that we see this over here, and you begin to realize how the Lord loved the people. And this is something, for example, we read in chapter 8, talking about the Lord's love. 40 years, we read in verse 3 and in verse 4. Right? Verse 4, 1, your garments did not wear out on you. 2, your foot did not swell these 40 years. You know, sometimes the Lord's protection is something we take for granted. Look at the Lord's provision. The Lord your God is bringing to a good land, and he gives you the good land. Again and again, the Lord's provision is something that we take for granted. Verse 17, your herds, flocks multiply, your silver, gold multiply, all you have multiplied. Look at how the Lord has provided. And he has multiplied. When we began in life, we had very little. And what we have today, it's multiplied many times. And yet, we don't know how to appreciate that this is actually God's love being shown to us. And it is. It is something that we don't want to take. He says, because I love you. That's it. In chapter 7, because the Lord loves you. Sometimes love is easy because the person is this, that, and the other. But Israel wasn't this, that, or the other. Israel was not anything great in any sense of the word at any time. And yet God loves. So I think this is where it's really, really profound. God just simply loves. And that is something to be discovered. Okay, now in chapter 7, we see this. The first part of it is his love. The Lord did not set his love. There we go. So his love is one that is set. Focus. Lord says, okay, I'm going to love you. Set your love, his love upon you. That's the first idea. Sometimes we fail to understand what it means for the Lord to set his love upon us. That love does not change. This is why we read in Jeremiah 31 and verse 3, an everlasting love. From the days of Moses to the days of Jeremiah, hundreds of years have passed. That everlasting love is set. Now that is tremendous. Now we look at the other aspects of love. In verse 13, we read, and he will love you. Now, what does it mean? Has he not already said he has set his love? This is the other aspect. And he will love you. In other words, Look out for other expressions of love. Look out for a deeper sense of love. Look at the other aspects of love that God has not revealed yet. And there are the aspects of love indeed. We begin with God loves us. We carry on with He set His love upon us. We go on to the next level, He will love you. In other words, you have not yet understood the greatness, the fullness of that love yet. It will be revealed in time to come. And that's important. You know, I think it's been really, greatly challenging to see what it means for us to have the Lord say these words of love to us. And this is something that we don't want to take for granted in any way, at any time. Okay? So then the question is, what does it mean when we talk about being chosen? Right? He's chosen you to be a special treasure above all the peoples. What does this mean? Well, let's take a look at chapter 7 and look at this idea of being the Lord's people. And the one word which we know is the word blessing. And if you take a look at this word blessing, you will realize how deep and wonderful this word is. Now, this is important. Okay? Now, in chapter 7, we read in verse 13, and He will love you and bless you and multiply you. Now, that is a... Let's take a look at this more carefully. Okay? General statement, He will love and bless you. Now, we go to the more specifics. And it's something that we don't want to take for granted. He will bless the fruit of your womb and the fruits of your land. Verse 14, you shall be blessed above all peoples. And that's the whole idea of it all. Significantly blessed. Not just simple general word, God will bless you. You know, we always use the word, you know, very generally, God will bless you. Look at how God will bless the individual, the family, the provision, the personal things that we have. And all of us who have gone through so much, and we look at our life today, we begin to realize just how much God has blessed us. Right? And so this is something that we want to understand and appreciate. Okay? Some of those things are just really, really, really profound. And this is what it means to be God's people that we must ask ourselves. If these things are really as they say, how does that work out for us? What does God really want us to be? And this is where a lot of time people don't realize that the blessings of God, we literally prevents the blessings from coming to us fully because we don't understand what is expected of us. Well, let's take a look at chapter 7 and we talk about the Lord, what He wants us to consider. In chapter 7 and in verse 9, we read, therefore, know that the Lord your God, He is God. He is faithful, He keeps covenant and mercy for a thousand generations with those who love Him. Now, that is the first word. The question is whether we really respond appropriately. Do we love the Lord in return? That's the challenge. Do we love Him? Two, do we keep His commandments? And that's the challenge. So those who hate Him, He will repay. They will be destroyed at the end of the day. So the question is, we want to ask ourselves, it's wonderful to be chosen. Chosen to do what? It's not a word, general word, a chosen to love the Lord. Well, that's the challenge we want to ask ourselves. Can we love the Lord? Will we indeed seek to learn how to deepen our love for the Lord? It's something that children don't understand. They just take love for granted. They don't know how to cultivate it. And then as we grow older, we don't understand it beyond the first few years. And then after that, it's just taken for granted. We don't know how to love. I think this is something that we need to look at. We learn how to love the Lord first. How do we best express that love for Him? And the word is very clear. We keep His commandments. Look at verse 11 again. You shall keep the commandments, the statutes. There we go. So the idea of keeping is so real. This is why take the time and the trouble to memorize His word. Why we take the time and the trouble to dwell on His word. That's how we express our love for the Lord. Not just in emotional declaration, but because we keep His word. And if we don't keep His word, you cannot speak of loving the Lord in any real sense of the word. In verse 12, we see the word again. Keep. Can you see this? In verse 9, keep. In verse 11, keep. In verse 12, and keep and do them. That's the whole idea. And the Lord, in turn, will keep you. Obviously. So when we speak about the love for the Lord, we must ask ourselves, do I really love the Lord? Do I really keep His commandments? And then you look at the whole idea of being chosen and how the Lord will bless. You see, it doesn't mean that God will not bless physically. The Lord can continue to give physically, to provide materially and everything else. But that's only physical. What the Lord is looking for is not the giving back of an offering, but a relationship with Him where we can say we really love the Lord. How do we express it? We keep His commandments. And if we, on the other hand, don't really know His word, don't keep His commandments, don't talk about love, we don't love the Lord. That is a reality. It's hard to accept this, but that is something that we want to appreciate. So God calls us to a relationship with Him first. So if we don't have a relationship with God, we begin here. And the next question would be, what kind of relationship? A close relationship. We have a loving relationship with Him. God's part, He will keep His word. He will be faithful. He will bless. He will keep us and bring us home one day. On our part, we express as much as He loves us, we love Him in return. As much as He's given us His word, we keep His word. That's what it should be. And that's what we want to try and do. And when this relationship is understood, then we understand the idea of being chosen. This is why the song we sing, we have this vision. We are His people. We show to the world, this is our vision. This is our understanding to be God's people. Here is what we speak of: a God who loves us. We are the people of His choice. We learn to love Him as He has first loved us. As He has given us His word, so we treasure His word and we keep it close to our heart. As He commands, so we obey. Then you have a tremendously dynamic relationship with God, understood and practiced. It is not a passive idea, being chosen. It is not just a theoretical thing. It is tremendous to understand it. If we begin with His people. Later on, we'll discover about how God chooses special people from among His people. But this is important for us, and that is our challenge. What is our response to all these things here? I think this is important for us. This is all instructions. Unfortunately, very few people respond with love for the Lord. is something that we want to look at very, very carefully. You know, this morning, sometimes we think in terms of, well, if I am well, I can love the Lord. But, you know, that's not true. You may not be well, you can still love the Lord. This morning, I can barely hear myself. My ears are badly blocked this morning. Dr. Victor Koo has asked me to consider every weekend I come, I am on steroids every weekend now. Because every time I step in, the inflammation flares up. And for the next few days, the face, you know, well, so if I take a shower, it's like being scalded by hot water. I'm in pain. And yet I need to go and, you know, do the necessary. Can I still speak of love for God? Yes. Can I still speak of love for God even though there is physical discomfort and distress? Yes. I suffer from what is known as ankylosing spondylitis. And I had a blood test done, and then they tell me there is a gene problem. And so I will have this thing here. How do I know it is true or not? When my son came back last year and I said, son, I want you to go and do a blood test too. And he has the same gene. And so all this idea of joint pain, some days my fingers would be very swollen. It's not because I ate liver or ate green star or because of groundnuts. It's part of the whole thing. And it's part of the whole thing. I, you know, psoriasis is part of it. I have little pits in my fingernails. Fingers joint painful. I'm living with it. Can I live with it and say, Lord, I love you? Yes. In a classic case of ankylosing spondylitis problem at my age, I should be in a wheelchair today. My spine would have been literally so jammed up. I cannot even sit properly. But I am not. Can I still praise Him? Yes. Can there be challenges and difficulties in life? Yes. But this is a relationship you learn to treasure. You learn to appreciate it for what it is. We have a great God. This life on earth is not everything. Soon it will be over. We have a greater home to go to. I was greatly touched when Albert called me and I spoke to him and he said, Pastor, can we bring Maureen back home? Yes, this is home. She may live in a beautiful home in Melbourne, but this is home. This is where she wants to be. This is what it is all about. But you know, we have a greater home. And that greater home is one that we will all go to one day. I live for that greater home. I live for the day when I will see face to face the Savior whom I have loved and served. This love is for real. Keeping His word is something we want to do appropriately. But of course, I mean, this is important for us, and I know what this is all about. The other person who wanted to be home was the late Mrs. Tan, and she was in Taiwan, and flew over to see her, and she said she wants to come home, and this is home. For many of us, Bethany is home. But remember, this is only a home that represents a greater home. And here is a God, a loving God, who prepares us for the day when we will all die. Where will we go after we die? How wonderful it is to know that in God's covenant promise, in God's word, in God's oath, He loves us And Jesus says to us, he goes to prepare a home for us, a place with the Father. This is our promise from God. How can we not love this God? We don't know when we will die, but we will die one day. How wonderful it is to know that we have a God who will give to us a promise and we will be home with him one day. And that's what we want to understand and appreciate. And so when we talk about being chosen, God has chosen us for this, to be our God, to be our covenant-keeping God, to be a God who will bless us, to a God who would love us, a God who will stand by us throughout. What's our response? Surely to know him, to love him, to keep his word close to our hearts, complete them, do them in our life. And so we begin this whole idea of being chosen by God as a doctrine. And it is a glorious, glorious word. And I want to encourage you to look forward to greater things that we will discover. Well, let's prepare our hearts for communion.